The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 199. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Back in black!
Carlos Romero.
Cyberpunk hype, man. Cyberpunk hype.
Brian Manjoma.
These mantis with wigs are hilarious.
Brett Murdoch. Yes. And Adam Vale.
What's up, people? Global event.
Yeah, and of course, we're joined by the one, the only, Mr. Robert Workman.
Spider Pig does whatever Spider Pig does.
Yes. Oh, man, does he do puddles, though?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, we're not even like a minute into the damn show. It's puddles.
It's hilarious, man. All right, so before we start, we want to remind everybody that we are currently having a contest, a free giveaway of Spider-Man for the PS4. For details, check out the video, but it's pretty simple. Follow us on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and just answer either on the video or over on Twitter, what's your favorite Spider-Man game? We're getting a lot of responses. The contest is going to end next Thursday, episode 200. That's where we're going to announce the winner, and we're going to get you a free copy of the game, man. So lots of fun. We're seeing a lot of interaction going on, which is always nice, you know? And Robert, what have you been up to lately, man?
Not much, you know. I'm missing PAX West, unfortunately, to do the budget stuff. But I do have a 500 million PS4 Pro to call my own, so I've been playing around with that. And just getting ready for review season. We're kicking into high gear starting next week. You got like Spider-Man, you got SNK Heroines, you got Destiny 2 Forsaken. We're going to be busy. NBA is coming up, you know.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about Battlefield 5.
Yeah. We're going to get to that.
Snap.
I need to add that to the show. Actually, for me, review season started 2 weeks ago. Dragon Quest, Spider-Man, Tomb Raider's going to be coming. Mega Man's coming along the way. Assassin's. It's going to be crazy, man. So, yeah, get ready, people. So, Chris can't be here tonight. He's sick or something. No, he's not sick. He's doing some work or something. Got to catch up. Make that money, you know?
Make that money.
Yeah. The reason I said sick is because usually when Chris is out, it's usually because he's sick. Chris always has like weird allergies to things. But no, in this case, he needs that money. By the way, these guys are already going in on the puddle thing in the chat. You guys are crazy. You know? All right, so we're not going to keep
They're wet with anticipation.
Tony, yeah. You started it. You're the one that approaches a fight by starts a fight by throwing pocket sand. You're like, what would a throwdown, puddle?
Yeah, that's right, man. All right, so let's get into it. So we actually did discuss this on the Sunday show, the question show. We were asked, what do you guys think about Spider-Man being downgraded, right? And we thought that was going to be that. Nope, this shit is still going. Now all these big sites are, you know, going at it. You know, the thing is, like, I was questioning whether we should even go over this again, you know, because we already kind of did. But since we got Robert here and Brian wasn't here to talk about this, I want to get their takes. But obviously, we'll give our takes on why this is continuing. But Robert, we'll start with you, man. What's your take on this whole puddle gate, as they're calling it?
Absolutely overblown in every sense of the word. I mean, the internet is so bored. Are you really going to buy a superhero game, spend $60, and walk around the puddle? This is the greatest puddle ever. I love this puddle. This is a 10 out of 10 puddle. Yeah, I love it. No, you're not. The main issue here is that people think they're being cheated because they take a look at the renders from the 2017 trailer and the 2018 trailer, and there are changes. And because those changes they feel are downgraded, they're being robbed. But here's the thing. Games go through changes all the time. They do. But, I mean, this is not a drastic change. These are minor things that are being tweaked. And who knows? I mean, PS4 Pro might still have this. I don't know. I mean, you got the PS4 Pro version, I'm assuming, Tony. So, I mean, what can you tell us in terms of what you saw?
I can't, as you know.
Okay, well, then we even talk about it.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But, all right, fine. Back to me. But here's the thing. It's being held as a drastic example of something that's changed that was originally promised. And that's kind of bullshit because the fact of the matter is the game is still what Insomniac Games wanted it to be, a fun adventure where you could take control of Spider-Man in interiors, exteriors, completing missions. That's what counts. If we're really going to point fingers at something they showed us compared to something we got, I've got two examples. The first is Killzone 2. When that trailer debuted in 2006, they promised us this grandeur, cinematic experience. Oh, there's nothing like this. It's amazing. Then the game came out, and it was good, but it was nowhere near that cinematic level that we were promised. And then the second example I've got is even more drastic, Aliens Colonial Marines. We were promised this amazing experience by, you know, by the team over there that did Borderlands, Gearbox. And instead, we got something that not only shit the bed, but it shit the bed, ordered room service, shit on room service, waited for the maid, shit on the maid, and then shit some more for good measure. So if we're really going to talk about drastic examples, I don't think Spider-Man's the glowing point here. The only reason it's getting all this is because of how immense the buzz is for it. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't deserve the guff to me. There are far worse examples in terms of graphic fidelity issues or missing puddles than this.
Watch Dogs.
Yeah, Watch Dogs is another one. You know,
that one blown people's mind with that first trailer. And when it came out, I was like, what was this? April Fool's.
Oh, you can't drive either. Damn.
April Fool's.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not going to call him out. I'm just going to say he is one of the founders of Throwdown, and he actually tweeted that Spider-Man is this generation's Killzone 2. I can't believe he said that shit. Are you kidding me? You know? But the thing is, like, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, this was surprising to me. A lot of people that were hyped for the game are worried because of a screenshot. I could understand, as stupid as it is, I could understand if it was just Xbox guys going crazy because, you know, they want to use it as ammo, right? Even though there is some of that, I'm mostly seeing the chatter coming from the PlayStation side of things, which is shocking to me. I'm like, you guys should know better, you know? So it's really, really weird, you know, what's going on here. It's like people are like just taking that screenshot and just going ham, you know? But Brian, what's your take on this, man? Because you weren't here on Sunday to tell us what you thought.
This shit is funny. It is one of the funniest things I've seen in a long while. Like, it's like, I also don't know where to start. Like, who's actually worse or who's actually at fault? Is it the Xbox guys for just being like really dumb and not understanding that games go through a change in process? Or is it the PlayStation fans for arguing with the Xbox guys because now they're mad that the Xbox guys are laughing at the game, like, looks not as good as it was before? Like, who's actually worse here? I don't know. But either way, I'm just finding the whole thing funny. But on the first go round, like, yes, in the screenshots, it's obvious that things don't look as good as it does. The less puddles. The reflections on the suit seem to have gone, and all this other stuff is looking different. Now, why they did that, I don't know. My guess is the same thing that probably happens during game development. They bring out a game trailer, it's running on a PC with approximation of console hardware, they put on a console, oh, it's not as good, hence they tweak some stuff to make it look and run well. Fine, it's game development, that happens, we've seen that happened a lot of times. But I don't understand what the response was in that it was a change of lighting. That doesn't account for the stuff that was missing. Yes, it can account for his suit not looking as good. Fine. Change of lighting. You can't really hit the suit because the sunlight is being blocked. Fine. Makes sense. But the lack of puddles, that's probably because reflections were taking up a bit too much space and costing a bit too much. So hence they removed them. Make the game run smoother. Again, perfectly fine. That happens. So Insomniac should have changed what they had said about the situation in that they should have approached more from, hey, we just felt that the vision changed along the course, hence the game looked different and ended it off there. And then you get Xbox guys going at it, which I think is one of the funniest things, because I think it all stemmed from the fact that PS guys were all like, oh, look at us, we have Spider-Man this year, look at how great it looks, blah, blah, blah. So the PS guys were using it as ammo. The Xbox guys got salty. The Xbox guys found something, like, unbelievably insignificant to argue about. And now are throwing it back at the PS guys. And then now the PS guys are getting mad about it and, like, trying to, like, damage control as much as possible. Even though they're trying to damage control something that doesn't really matter. And it's just the funniest thing I've seen in a long while. I mean, the whole thing is just a bunch of idiots on all sides just looking pathetic. And it's just like, really, guys, like a puddle. Like, we went to the point where a puddle is now a thing in gaming that somehow people care about. Why do they care about it? It means nothing. Okay, the game is going to work. The game is going to run fine, hopefully. And the game is going to look great. And the people that are going to play it are still going to play it. So hence, what's the big deal? Xbox guys, you guys don't have it. So why are you guys like bringing this up?
Okay.
PlayStation guys, you'll be able to play it. So just play it and ignore them. Like if these Xbox guys are truly beneath you, then why are you arguing with them? It makes no sense.
Yeah, but Brett, before you go on, just quickly, Insomniac said that the suit was actually shinier beforehand, right? But they felt that it made it look a little bit unrealistic, so they toned it down. I'm treading water here a little bit here, but I'm going to say there are other suits in the game that are really shiny, and there is merit to what they're saying. Also, and again, just skirting the line here, that big puddle that everyone saw is in the game, just somewhere else. And again, asset shift. As a matter of fact, if you saw the updated screenshot, there's crates in the background that were not there in 2017. They changed stuff around. And then, obviously, as Manny and Brett could tell you, lighting actually does play a big factor in how things change. But as far as assets go, they definitely switched stuff around. They took the puddle away or made it shorter, and they put some crates in the background. But the lighting, again, I don't think a lot of people really appreciate how much that could change things, especially if the suit itself is not as reflective as it used to be before. Anyway, go ahead, Brett.
Well, I was just going to say to Brian's comment, I mean, that's all well and good, but you have to understand that different people come to the game for different reasons. And so now if you're a gamer sitting there wanting a casual open world puddle viewing simulator, now you don't have that anymore with Spider-Man. And I realize most people want to play this game because of Spider-Man, but I was really looking forward to just casually taking my time strolling through the downtown area looking at puddles.
The puddle simulator.
That's fair, Brett.
Puddles. I like puddles.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I mean, next you're gonna tell me I can't splash in them, and then I'm gonna be like, "Fuck! That, what's the point? $60 down the tube."
Yeah. Oh, you mean like Tomb Raider not having splash? Remember that? There was Carlos.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man. I don't know. I mean, my thoughts are exactly the same as they were before. It's silly that this is what we're talking about. And again, I wish gamers would put their energy into things that actually mattered. When they rallied against loot boxes, that was a good thing. This is nonsense, man.
But somebody put gate at the end of it, Tony.
Yeah, that
is
true.
It's called Puddlegate now, which means it's important.
Man, that, I can't argue with that. It's silly, man. And
this makes me think of like the rock missing in Saget stage.
Yes.
This is like how paint though. I feel like gamers can be at times, where it's like, okay, does the gameplay good? All right, who gives a shit if the rock is fucking missing from Saget stage? Seriously, unless it totally impacts gameplay, or if it's a really big leap from what it originally was, which I do not believe it is.
What if it's a really big rock?
And then the other thing is, it's also there's also time of day changes inside of the game. There's all these different sorts of things. So why are people are going nuts for a game that they haven't even played yet?
I get it. People are worried, like was already mentioned. I actually forgot to mention.
This is not a Watchdog situation. Seriously,
I know people are just paranoid. Like some people are paranoid by the fact that they're getting shortchanged, which is not the case. Like it's. They optimize the game. Oh no, that's literally all that happened. That's literally all that this is. It's a perfectly normalized part of the process that they need to do to make sure the game doesn't run like shit. And that involves reducing a few puddles. Oh my god, it's when it becomes there are a few games like we've all said that really hit that point where they cross a threshold into being okay. This is just strictly bait and switch, but. This is not that. This is just optimizing the game, and as I've heard from multiple sources, like it's the costume changes. Like it's not that they don't have the ability to render a shiny Spider-Man. They can and do render shiny Spider-Man. It's just they changed the base costume. And that's probably because the original costume was a little glossy anyway. If you look at like almost all of Spider-Man's costumes, he's not really a shiny dude. So all this is strictly in the realm of normal, and I'm not sure if it's just people don't have enough to talk about, or if this is tall poppy syndrome, which is my likely bet that Spider-Man is just getting a lot of news, so people want to throw rocks at it, especially for a console exclusive. So again, not only is the game and the process normalized, but the shit talking is also kind of normalized. I don't know why this became important to fucking begin with.
Yeah, and
we all remember the secret sauce. Like, look,
yeah,
game or console wars are stupid, and the ammunition, the bombs they throw are stupid. We are arguing about a puddle. This is the definition of stupid.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh man. Again, there's a couple of things. I don't know if you guys want to go into the whole thing with our friend Kofi. I don't know if you want to get into that or not. But he did. Yeah. What happened, Brian?
Me?
It's up to you, man. Basically, what happened is he didn't start the whole Puddlegate thing, but he definitely, you know, made it big because Kofi, you know, he has a really big following on Twitter, right? So he was, you know, showing the screenshots, having fun, poking fun at the fanboys and stuff, because Kofi is more of a PC and Nintendo type of guy, right? So he's poking fun. He usually makes fun of Xbox guys, but this time he was kind of making fun of PlayStation and all that, right? But, you know, in his usual lighthearted way. But he was doing that for a good bunch of days, but then he got a copy of the game. Not a review copy. He just got it from a mom and pop store because he's not media, right? So he posted a video of the game, you know, his impressions, and it was glowing. He gave it a lot of praise and stuff, right? But the video was pulled down. He talks about this on, you know, his Twitter, that he got a copyright strike or something from Insomniac and Sony, right? My theory is, and again, I don't know anything about what happened. My theory is that the content of the video is not the reason why that video got pulled. I think it's because of what happened, you know, on his Twitter profile, right? And this is where I'm like, you know, if you're not media, you don't understand that you have to toe a line when it comes to game companies, right? And obviously they didn't like any of this. Again, I'm just speculating at this point. They didn't like what he was saying, so they may have, you know, pulled it down because I don't know what happened, but the fact of the matter is, you know, companies are very protective of their IPs. So when you say something about a game, especially negatively beforehand, and you have the game before it's out, you run the risk, you know, and they were perfectly within the rights to take the video down too. So I'm not coming at it one way or the other from that perspective, but it is kind of, you know, interesting, you know, and it's also funny just throwing this personal thing in there. Even before I was media, Manny can attest to this too. Sometimes I would get games a little early, right? I would unplug my fucking console. I'm like, nope. I was so paranoid about that
stuff,
you know?
Where did Kofi get the Spider-Man?
He has a hookup. Because remember, the game went gold a month ago. Gold means it's actually a physical disc, right? And I remember
people... the game.
Yeah. There are places in New York, you know, yeah, Adam, man. You already know, that get the game like a week beforehand, you know?
This guy would sell it early, and it was over in Jamaica, Queens, but he would charge like a markup, like extra $10.
Yeah.
But he... like, yo, you want this shit early or not? I was like, yeah, I guess so.
I remember the last time this happened, I was already media at this point. I got Metal Gear Solid 5 early because Konami didn't send it to me, right? I got it early. Nope, I didn't talk. I could have easily talked about it if I wanted to. I didn't. I'm like, I don't want to take a chance, you know? So pretty interesting. I don't know if you guys want to give your thoughts on that. Robert, anything you want to say on that?
In regards to what?
Insomniac and Sony pulling down, press start Kofi's video.
Well, I mean, I know some people like this freedom of speech thing, but other people just, I'm not really a fan of people just raise ire just to be controversial. You know, it's just, I know some people live for that, but I mean, if there's a problem with the game, I mean, they already said they're doing the day one patch, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're going to complain about the game before the game is out, that doesn't make much sense. You know, because the day one patch could come along and then all of a sudden, you know, whatever issue you're complaining about is probably gone anyway.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is in his video, based on what he played, he likes the game a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I believe it was his activity on Twitter that's what really got him in trouble.
Yeah, shit-talking. Like I said, it's really, if you want to have an opinion, that's great. But when you start waving that opinion around like a big, I'm not going to say it, but you have a pretty good idea what I'm talking about. it's stupid. You know, that's what causes fights. That's what causes people to like question your reputation. You know, it's unless you've got a a reason to have that big a beef and to pass it around on social media. You know, if you like the game, then be like, well, okay, there are problems with the game here and there. But if you make the problem the focus instead of saying, well, this game is awesome, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And you know what? I am going to share this story because, you know, people know, right, this. When I first started, right, when I was writing for SCU Film Play, I accidentally published my review of Dragon's Crown 12 hours early because it was like, it was 12 noon, right? I thought it was 12 midnight. Usually it's 12 midnight, right? So I posted 12 hours early. It was up for 6 hours until I realized I made a mistake. I pulled the thing down and I apologized to the company. I sent them an email and they said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I guarantee you, if I had written a bad review, that wouldn't have been down 30 minutes after it got posted. You know, that's just the way things are, you know. Got to walk that line a little bit. Pretty interesting stuff. Brian, I know you kind of have a different take on this.
Oh, yeah. I just completely, like, disagree with what they did. Because, like, it seems like the people that took it down just took it down because they got salty at what he said. Which is them just abusing the YouTube copyright system, which is irresponsible and unprofessional to the maximum degree. Just because that he has the game early and he talked shit about the game on Twitter, like, you're going to take down his video, even though that his video, as far as Tony is saying, had nothing bad to say about the game, I think is just disrespectful and ridiculous. Honestly, it's just childish.
Not to mention unprofessional, just super.
They have no right to the content because if it didn't show any anything that was copyrighted content in the video, then they have no right. If all he did show was just the logo in the background compared to other people that have just been shown the logo and yet their videos are still up, then that shows that there is some other intent happening and they're just being petty. And this whole thing that they did is going to blow up in the face even more because this is how these things work. Someone does something petty and stupid on Twitter or YouTube, and then suddenly other people find out, and then suddenly people are turn around and saying, oh, Insomniac are like that now? Fuck those guys. And then that makes Insomniac just look bad and look worse. And do they really need that at the eve of like one of the games that's like most hyped right now? No, they don't, because it just makes them look even worse. Because now it's like, oh, they don't have puddles in their game. Oh, and now they're striking down videos of people that talk about the puddles. So, like, what the hell's wrong with them?
It hasn't really blown up yet. I don't think it's going to reach that level, to be honest.
Man. You know, it's Spider-Man. Kids love it.
But then it does. Like, look at how far the Pearlgate thing just went in the first place. Like,
yeah, no, that's true.
Blow over and whatnot. Like, this thing just gets worse overnight, then I won't be too surprised. Like,
well, here's the thing. If more people get the game in and their videos get pulled, then I could understand. But this is only an isolated incident, so I don't think a lot of people... Again, if it was going to blow up, it probably would have happened by now. But, Brian, and not to start a debate, I actually disagree with you. I think Insomniac and Sony were perfectly within their rights to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, they were... it's still something based on their property, so they do have the right to pull it. Maybe the reasons were questionable. I'm not going to say that, but right. They are within their rights because the video is about their product.
You know? Not to mention it's under embargo, too.
And granted, Kofi is not media, but he is still talking about a game he should not own. So I fully understand where the company is coming from, you know?
No,
I'm surprised they didn't contact him asking from where he got it.
Yeah, I would. If I was the company, I'd be like, where'd you get that? Who sold it to you? I would be on that ass. Plug that leak, you know?
Nintendo used to do that. Go after people.
Went straight for the juggler. And then boom, just dropped it. And then that's it. Like, I'm sorry, but like that just makes them look like assholes at this point in time. Like, they pulled down a video with a copyright strike. That is a wrong thing to do. Because again, unless there's copyrighted content in the video, which I'm sure there's not, then no, they don't have the right to do so. Like, they have the outrage to do so because it's content that they own and it's a game that they have made. But that's about it. Like, that's not a reason to call a copyright strike. They should have just said, okay, hey, you know what? Let's contact him on Twitter or contact him on YouTube and then just talk to him instead of this nonsense. Like, the only reason why we're talking about it is because that they just did not do that. So hence why it's already, it like the whole thing has already blown up, because if he like if it didn't, then we wouldn't be talking about it. We'd just be like, okay, you know, they contact the guy on YouTube and that's it.
Yeah. Well, the reason we're bringing it up is because Kofi's a friend of the podcast, obviously, you know, and I feel that it would be kind of wrong if we didn't discuss it. Right. You know, Brian, I guess you and I just, you know, your favorite word here, I have to agree to disagree with this. I kind of, I hate to say it, but I'm just being honest. I side with Sony and Insomniac on this one. If I was in their position, I would do the same thing, you know, maybe not as harsh, but I would be like, cause the thing's like at the end of the day, these people are putting out videos of a game that's not out yet. It's kind of ruining the marketing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
you can't,
yeah.
Like, if he showed footage, then yes, they would have a right, because that stuff should not be shown yet.
Even if you're discussing plot points.
He was talking about it.
Yeah.
Was he talking about plot points, though?
No, he gave his impression, but again, no one is supposed to have that at this point in time.
Was he just talking about the game? Like, okay, so then what makes the difference between what he said and someone that is speculating based on trailers? It's the fact that he has the game. That's the only difference.
Yeah, no, so you're right. But that's the thing. His information is more credible than other people's. Yeah. So they do, again, they do have the right, though, you know?
No, because his statements are pretty much indistinguishable from someone who's just speculating based on the content.
But it is. What are you talking about? He's basing it on actual experience, not just some jerk off looking at trailers, you know?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that the stuff that he is saying, someone can be speculating and saying the same thing, and what?
But Brian, it doesn't matter. He played the actual game, you know.
Tony. I mean, like, the only difference is that he has played the game, and I don't think
that's the key difference.
They have
that is
the right
main difference. You can't dismiss that.
Then they have the right to strike someone's channel down because he's played the game before he was meant to.
Not to mention the fact that
go ahead, Robert.
They don't have the right to do so because there's no legality in that.
I was just going to say, I mean, like, we are talking about a pre-release. So even if he did play it early, like I said, there's still the day one patch that could come in. It might not have multiplayer features. I mean, I don't know if Spider-Man, I don't think it does, but it's just saying without the online component, without like it actually being out there in the wild. You may have played a game, but that doesn't mean you played the experience that they were intending. And commenting on it early, even if you don't show footage, you know, number one, you're violating the agreement that you made with the publisher, even if you're not in the media. And number two, you're setting yourself up for, like, you know, ire from the people that don't have the game, that haven't played it. You know, Tony's played it before we did, and I'm pissed at him.
Would we do, or would we think the same way? Let's say, for example, someone watches a movie ahead of time, or someone like somewhere they got a leaked version and they watched, and then they posted a YouTube video that got monetized, spoiling the movie. Let's say the Avengers, the new Avengers movie. Someone posts a spoiler video today about the new Avengers.
I can put this in metaphor that it already is in terms of legality. Like look at stock trading, right? You can speculate all you want about what's going to happen and talk about those speculations all you want, but the second you know for a fact that that thing is going to be happen, if you act or talk about that, you can be convicted of shit like insider trading. They've already exploited the morality of the idea of the difference between knowing and speculation, and it's trust me, it's been battled out. Like they've got the shit down to the nines, and I think that's the main difference here. Is it's, yeah, you're saying the same stuff, but you know for a fact, and it's that knowing that you're selling people on, and that's what you're not allowed to do as per the rules of the people who made the thing. And you kind of need to abide by the rules of the people who made the thing. So I think it's pretty clear cut, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I completely agree.
And then the question to you, Brett, is where are these rules?
They announced these rules. This is what they sent out. Yeah, and they told the stores, hey, don't sell this early.
Yeah.
And they tell those stores, do not sell this early or we will blacklist you if we find out. They're the store's fault also. That's why I'm surprised they didn't contact this guy and say, hey, we're gonna cancel your account. We're going to delete everything unless you tell us where you bought this game.
And then hence my problem is, why have they not done that? Why is it that they've just gone over this one video and nothing else?
You can't use Google to find out when press is allowed to release information about the game. You can't find out when that ban is lifted.
No, as in, like, why did Insomniac not contact Kofi and ask him, like, hey, where did you get your copy from early how did you get it?
Because they probably figured it wasn't worth it. But hold on, let me check out something.
But then pulling down his video out of spite is worth it?
Hold on. Are you guys?
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, we are.
I'm saying, start timing me. Start timing me.
Okay, somebody time Brett.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5
Oh, this is great podcast content.
Okay, it looks like...
I know it's going to be shorter than 5 seconds.
Spider-Man...
What is this dude looking up?
We don't know anymore.
Yeah, anyway, I want to move on, man. Yeah, very interesting stuff is going on. Plug time. Please look out for my full review of the game on Tuesday over at geek.com. And I could finally give my thoughts on this whole, fully give my thoughts on like, you know, whether the game has been downgraded or not. Oh, my God.
So is it Friday, Tony?
No, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday is when the embargo lifts?
Yes, Tuesday, September 4th. Okay. So be on the lookout for that, man. All right. Okay. Yeah.
That was my point right there. Like, yeah. It's going to take about 2 to 5 minutes to figure out when the embargo lifts.
You could have just asked me.
By those rules. Yeah, but I was trying not to ask you because Brett. Not everybody knows a Tony.
Yeah, no, but you're right about that, Brett. That was actually a news art thing that came out, 2 weeks ago when the embargo was going to lift. So it's the information's out there. You could have easily abided by the rules. But again, he's also not pressed, so he's not, you know.
He is not obliged by anything to uphold that date.
But at the same time, he should know.
He's obliged by holding a copy.
You are completely obliged to the day.
Yeah.
Don't apply to him because he is not part of that system.
But if he was sent the code. No, if he was sent
He wasn't sent it. He bought the game himself. Like, he bought the game from
a person. He bought the game
And he wasn't supposed to.
He wasn't supposed to buy the game, yeah.
Yeah, that's a different story, like, completely. Like,
here's my point. When you announce a media embargo for all stories relating to this, it does not necessarily just relate to the people you've given the game. You are publicly announcing, we will quell any story anybody posts about this until this date. He didn't have to sign a contract. He didn't have to do anything. They basically publicly announced a bounty on the head of any news story on PS4 or about Spider-Man on PS4 before this date. They wouldn't have pulled this down if it were after the embargo release. Just because he didn't get a copy doesn't mean he's immune to the rules of the people who put this game out. By getting the copy in his hand, and I'm sure it's buried in the user agreement somewhere, he cannot put out a story about this game. They can't stop him from playing it. If somebody wants to sell it, they can go after the seller, but they can stop him from putting out a story on it. That's my point.
And again, and it's probably also a blanket thing that happens when you put these things out anyway. Who's to say that, the way the algorithms on YouTube work, it probably just blanketly blocks anything that involves Spider-Man, as far as that goes.
Because he was complaining that other people have been posting up screenshots of the actual star screen, and which is a lot more content than he did, and their videos are still up. So this is them targeting Kofi's video.
Mm.
So it's not like, it's like a blanket thing that's happening. No, it's just him. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, do you think they might be targeting them, but do you think they're targeting them for? But do you think they have a reason to target? Like,
yeah, they
well, not reason, but
because they don't like what he said on Twitter about the Puddlegate thing.
No, but do you think they have a like? Even though it's targeting, do you think they can take down his video?
No, because what they did was a copyright strike, and unless there's copyrighted material in the video, then that is not an appropriate avenue to take. And so I said that the avenue that they should have taken is that just contact him privately, either via Twitter or via YouTube, and ask him, hey, can you like not have the video up? Please take it down because we want to make sure that everyone gets
no company does that. Experience. How many times did we get demonetized? For sure.
Yeah, they don't tell us shit.
No one cares.
And that's why I think that is
Throwdown is in the shit list of every company, man.
Yeah, pretty much. They never tell us. They never give us any warnings. You know, that's just how it is, man. And again, and knowing that's the fact, you got to learn to abide by the rules because you shouldn't be surprised. I know he isn't surprised this happened, but if you get a game early, you should know. If you post your impressions, they may take your shit down. So just be aware, you know? Go ahead. Last thing, and I want to move on.
Yeah, this is definitely the last thing. I think this is a perfect opportunity to mention that we have a Spider-Man contest going on right now.
Yes. So they haven't taken that video down, you know?
Exactly. So if you want to get a copy of the game, go search our YouTube channel for the Spider-Man contest, and you can find out how to apply there. We'll be announcing the winner next week before the game comes out.
Yeah. All right, man. So, okay, this next story literally happened 3 hours ago. This is crazy. So Battlefield 5 has been delayed. You know, man, and there's been a lot of controversy this one. And apparently after this, not surprising, the shares plunged. You know?
Well, it's going to happen, but I think it's a good thing, or else it would end up like
there's too many games coming out this year, man.
It's too many. It's coming before Red Dead, and then we got Black Ops, which I think is also going to tank, but that's my view.
Exactly, Robert.
They learned something when it came to, like, you know, releasing Battlefield 1 and then releasing Titanfall 2 right after. They realized that if you were in the middle of a very busy season and people are busy with Black Ops or looking forward to Red Dead, not everybody's going to run out and buy Battlefield 5. And if it's lacking in quality, like it sounds like it is, and that's why they need a month to clean it up, then that's not going to help with sales at all, and people are going to criticize it. They want it to be on the level of Battlefield 1. So I can understand. It's like when Activision delayed Spyro the Dragon, the Reignited Trilogy. It should have come out this coming month, but instead we're getting it in November, and it's going to be the game that Toys for Bob wanted it to make. Just because a game is delayed does not mean it's the end of the world, although for EA, obviously, business-wise, it tanked a little bit because people were concerned that Battlefield 5 didn't have the confidence level that they were looking for. But I still think moving it out of the way of Call of Duty and Red Dead Redemption is the smartest move they can make. Right in the middle of those two, it's gonna get screwed.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like there's just too many games coming out in general, so it probably would be smart if they release it in the spring, and maybe it can make the game better. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, no problem with that. I mean, granted, I don't have any stake in this. I don't care about Battlefield, but you know, I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, but it is kind of interesting how the shares just plunged as soon as the news came out. You know, is anybody here even looking forward to playing this game?
I wouldn't mind playing it.
Not anymore.
I mean, I'm a Red Dead man, so, but I'll still play it, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people are like, Red Dead, it's going to be the game, you know? Oh, I remember seeing somebody saying, oh, why didn't they delay this game until, you know, like, actually, no, it's like, no, it was it. It was coming out in October, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or no, forget, yeah, they're screwed. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You were screwed.
Think, you know, delaying it helps the people, like, wanting to get the game now because it's less crowded now.
Man, I was telling somebody earlier, it's like the only shocker from this whole gaming window right now is if Red Dead is just horrible or glitched to high heavens. You know what I mean? That's nothing problem. Yeah,
of course, Brian, man.
That's the only thing I could think of, because even whether it's November, December, I mean, this could be the game that people just continue to play throughout the year.
Sort of like Grand Theft Auto 5, like they've been going for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And you gotta understand the massive hype behind Red Dead. They released a product line today of all these products that they're gonna sell. You know, the lighter, probably the worst thing to take on a plane, the dynamite USB stick.
Oh shit.
You know, there are some cool items that they're offering. They wouldn't go to that much trouble to hype their game if their game was a piece of shit. They're going all out with it. And it's probably gonna be mind blowing. Who knows?
Yeah, and if it's anything like GTA 5, it's going to make them a lot of money for many, many years.
If it's anything like GTA 5, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Well, they also said that the difference between GTA 5 and this one is that the online service will be at launch. Remember, GTA Online showed up a year later. They said, no, this is – everything's going to be active right there.
We're playing cards. That's what we're doing.
There you go.
Right? Well,
time to play some Liar's Dice.
You get to put some real money on it. What? Oh, shit. Forget about microtransactions. Attach your PayPal account. Let's do this.
Hey, that's you. I need money. But
after that, no, PlayStation.
I mean, Call of Duty is starting to build up this hype. Even without a single player campaign, it's building up that hype. And Battlefield 5 going right up against it. I mean, even if Call of Duty does tank, it's going to make a ton of money. And it's going to take out of Battlefield 5's audience releasing that close. So November seems like more ideal time, because by then everything will be calmed down with Assassin's Creed and Red Dead and Call of Duty, and maybe, just maybe, it'll be able to find its audience right before, you know, Super Smash Brothers snatches it.
Yeah. By the way, they didn't give a hint as to when the game is going to come out, right? Like, we don't know, like, when the game's actually coming out.
It's November 13th.
Yeah, oh, that's a new day? Okay, that's a new day.
Yeah, or no, November 20th. Sorry.
Okay, right before Black Friday, right? Yep. Okay. You know what? Yeah.
It's going to hurt them, though. It's going to hurt them. even that window right before Black Friday, because there's a lot of games that are on sale. That game will not be on sale. That's going to be a new release.
But it's going to be a hot seller for people who want to buy something.
It could be a super hot seller if Call of Duty sucks. You know what I mean? Because people are like, well, I want my shooter this year.
Battlefield has a campaign. You know, it's
like, you know, exactly. Has a campaign. Has its, you know, their own version.
There's been a lot of crappy Call of Duty games that people bought. So
you know, Call of Duty.
let's not bring up ghosts ever. Okay.
Oh man, they had the dog.
Where's my dogs? Where's my dogs? Literally, they had dogs.
But I mean, sometimes pacing something out for a delay pays off. You know, like I really think Spyro and Battlefield are going to benefit better being in November than they are in October or September. You know, by giving us something more excited to get something excited about in November, you know, it's really cool. Like, plus, September is going to belong to Spider-Man or Shadow of the Tomb Raider. You know, so I think we're covered in September. So
yeah, September, October on lock.
Oh yeah, not to mention all the indie games I'm going to pick up between now and then.
Holy Assassin's Creed also.
Assassin's Creed is dropping.
Odyssey's looking good.
Yeah, it really is, man. It plays great too, and I'm really looking forward to Valkyria Chronicles 4. Very hyped for that game.
Valkyria Chronicles. Yeah.
And then of course Mega Man 11. This is going to be a busy year. This is going to be busy year.
Crackdown this year.
Yeah, Crackdown was.
Why you got to go there, man? Why you got to go there?
Oh yeah, Forza.
Forza Horizon Forza. 4.
It's like pizza,
Forza,
right?
Forza. There's no T in there.
Yo, man, and I just got the X on my TV.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's going to be crazy.
I'm going to get another program, Pass. Pay like $30 and get one.
See, Robert, you're not the only one spending like money on systems. This guy bought the X, man.
I'm going to be eating mac and cheese the rest of my life. Oh, and Fallout. Let's not forget Fallout's coming soon.
That's right.
Oh, 76. I can forget about that.
That's going to be the thing that Battlefield runs into.
Carlos, did in your head, did you hear this?
You know what?
Tony. Yeah. Tony, wait real quick, because one of the other news that came out about Fallout was that it's not going to have an offline mode. I know how you are about strictly online shit.
That's interesting, because I saw a thing today where they said it is going to – if you want to play by yourself, you can.
So yeah, you can, but it's online. Still online. You're still going to be online playing by yourself.
Okay, that's but fine. Whatever.
I can deal with that.
Still PvP.
As long as somebody can't fuck up my game, I don't care.
Oh, they could fuck up me.
Actually, hold on. I read a little bit about the PvP. It's actually interesting.
I read.
You're doing it. It's essentially a tag-based system where if somebody pops up in the wild and shoots at you, it's going to do a nerfed amount of damage. And the more they continue to shoot you, the more nerfed the damage is going to be until you return fire at them, at which point it considers it an engagement, and you can both fire freely on each other. Now, if you do just bullet sponge and they end up managing to kill you, and this happens too many times, they're player icon goes live and red as a murderer for the entire map to see, and everybody's allowed to kill that person without being tagged back with no penalty. So basically, it's a free come take my shit beacon for PKers. So if you run around just murdering people, the game is going to punish you for it.
And what's your point? I want to go around and murder people. I mean, in game. I'm not.
Yeah, in game. Yeah, very.
But you know, okay. Most of the time, you'll run up in game and shoot at somebody, and and they'll shoot back at you, and you'll have a fight. But in Tony's, for Tony, if you don't want to fight other players, you don't have to. If you don't want to play with other players, you don't have to. You can just kind of ignore them, and they won't be able to.
Yeah, Tony's good at ignoring people.
Yeah, I am. Hey,
we forgot one more bit of good news with this whole Battlefield business.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, bro.
Soul Calibur 6 now stands a chance when it releases on the 19th, because nothing's going to go up against it.
That's a good point, yeah.
Because they said if Soul Calibur 6 doesn't sell well, it's the last game in the series, and I don't want that.
Yeah, that's right. Go buy the game, people.
That's right. Go kick ass with Geralt.
There you go, man. There you go.
Geralt of Rivendell.
Yeah, but headed back to Fallout, I mean, it's going to be like online focused, but it is nice that you could do the single player thing. Cause I'm not going to trust anybody. Come to my camp. Screw that. Get out of here. I've set traps.
My house.
Come to my house. My street.
Yeah. All right, man. So let's move on.
Wait, go ahead, Brian. Okay. Adam, it sounds like an agent has disavowed the division. Does not.
What now?
Adam.
They said Robert. Sorry.
Well, you're not listening to what Brett was saying about Fallout.
It was just coming all. There was a lot of talking back and forth about the online and stuff.
Damn it.
It was just a lot. So so you can go rogue, is what you're saying?
Yeah. That,
okay. They're doing the whole rogue thing. And that's what's going to happen. A lot of people are going to do it. Because I remember when they first announced with the Division, I remember they showed the whole rogue thing. Like, but my friends won't do that. They're bullshit. They're going to do it. Everyone's going to fucking do it. You know, and then they're going to start bitching just like they bitched in this one. But like, well, how do I fix that? Well, you just got to get better gear. You know, and then you can, you know, get the Banshee or whatever and then start working on that and prevent it and then just have a good steady group of friends. But there's always going to be somebody, you know, especially if you have something they want. It's just going to happen. So get ready for it.
Going to give it to you.
Yep. Going to give it to you.
All right, man. Let's talk about Cyberpunk, man. They finally released the footage and I want to get you guys' take on it.
I made the same face Paris did when he walked out of that. I was like,
shout out to Paris.
You actually got to see it, right, Robert?
No, I did not. I didn't get one of those cool statues. A friend of mine went on our team. So I was like, because I mean, I'll remember, like, what was it? Danny from Gamertag Radio got a video of Paris. Like, I don't know, like he just got married again or something. I don't know why he was making that face, but I guess Cyberpunk was really awesome. But now we got to see it. And I got to admit, you know, some people were picking on a little bit of the graphic detail, but I like what I saw so far.
It's weird when you have a place called Night City and you see it during the day. I think that's the biggest thing that people have been complaining about. But that's like old school. Also, like a lot of the old school people from, you know, the original game too, talking about that.
Yep.
But it looks nice. And I have to say though, I'm glad that CD Projekt Red also prefaced and literally put a big old fucking warning on it for people to be like, this is not a completed game.
Well, that shit was watermarked throughout the whole trailer.
It literally started the video with it.
So when they show the better footage next year and it's altered, they can't give any shit and they can't talk about puddles.
They're like, wait a minute.
There was a puddle in the street corner last time.
How come the design of the city has changed? The only thing I really kind of want, and I know it's not what they're going for, but I kind of want a third person mode. The car goes in third person.
Yeah, mode. I was about to say, you can do it in the car.
Thank you. That's my biggest complaint about this game. Like, goddammit.
Come on, like you're gonna put all this, you're gonna do all this. There's a character creator. You can do all this stuff with your stupid character, but you barely see them. Like you'll probably see them in a cinematic, right? But that's it.
Do you not see the problem?
You see how extensive the character creator is in the beginning of the video, and I'm like, why are we going through all this trouble to make a character if you're barely going to see them? You're just to see their.
By
hands.
The way, I need to repeat what I just said because my dumbass was muted for the fans. So basically, I saw the trailer and for just a little bit, and I was disappointed because it's like, yo, why is this in first person? You know, it's like I thought it was going to be a third person game. Not that I was really hyped for the game or anything, but that was a real bummer. So, but I thought it was just me, right? But then I go on Twitter and a lot of other people were like-minded. They were like, why is this shit in first person mode? Because I'm guessing because it was a CD Projekt Red game, they expected a third person experience. So it's a bummer. By the way, this always reminds me of that joke that Cat Williams said about rims. It's like, yo, you realize when you get rims on your car, you can't even see those shits when you're driving. You know what I'm saying?
You feel the rims, Tony. You feel the rims.
Yeah, it's.
Or it's like when someone gets TVs and has them on in the back seat. It's like you're driving, you don't see them, and there's nobody in your back seat.
Why? But you can hear the movie going. You could probably
hear the movie going. Nope.
Yeah, Manny, I know you brought this up, but yeah, I love that warning. It's like, yo, this shit ain't ready, motherfuckers.
It's not ready. don't go crazy. This game may even look different than what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, but Carlos, you're actually hyped for this now.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. Like, I couldn't get hyped before like Brian because Brian has a lot of faith in CD Projekt Red. But for me, I was like, I need to see this game to get hyped. And yeah, man, I freaking loved what I saw. The world looks huge. It's seamless. Like, there's no loading times in between. After the initial load, I don't think you have to load anything else. All the things with the story plot, the plot points where you get to choose different types of ways to go through the story. It's like, man, this is crazy. They're putting in every good aspect of most games and putting it into this one.
Well,
and
they're essentially doing an actual game version of what the RPG was. you know, the paper version of that game. That's what you had pretty much infinite freedom. You could do whatever the hell you wanted.
You're talking about The Witcher?
No, we're talking about that game. And that Cyberpunk is not game. It was a pen and paper game back in the day.
Yeah.
It was like D&D.
Yeah, it was future D&D. That's what that game was.
Blade Runner, D&D. Mm-hmm. Enjoy, have fun, and then play Ravenloft.
I guarantee you 99% of players don't even know that.
No, I mean, obviously they don't know it.
I don't think that's a thing now that, you know, I don't know if they still... There was shops before just going to get D&D books and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And math, now, I wonder if this game will fulfill one of my gaming fantasies. And that,
careful, Carlos.
Really going down the street? No. Wait, is this the one with the chicken? Because no.
One shot you could go to for that one.
So I'll explain. I remember when I was a little kid playing GTA 3, and I always wondered, if there is a game where I can go into every single building. And I wonder if maybe
this
will do like a good representation.
Yo, Carlos, what about half of them, man?
Pretty bad fantasy, boy.
I said gaming fantasy.
The one with the chickens is much better.
Oh, God, no, that's you, Tony.
What are you doing with them chickens, man?
Hey, man, that
feathers everywhere. Oh, my Lord.
You know? Oh, God, we got to roll off the track. Anyway, Cyberpunk, man. Go ahead. Brian, I know you're already hyped, man.
This will be the greatest game ever.
I was one of the few people on this podcast that had played Witcher 3 and loved it. I think Brett played it, and that was
I played it.
He hated it infinitely.
Hated it.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't like it that much. It's fine, Brett. Fine. Anyway, I understood how passionate CD Projekt Red are for making games, and understood their philosophy on how they make games. And hence, when they announced that they were making like a Cyberpunk game, I was like, I'm not too fussed, because these guys have proven that they know like how to go in on games and how to be detailed, how to be meticulous, and how to actually go the XML, not just like half baked and open world like Mafia 3. Like, if they do an open world game, full in and go like 110% on that game. Mm-hmm. And I had full faith. And seeing what I saw, it just looked great. Like it didn't show me the things that I liked, but it showed me stuff that I was intrigued to find out more about. And to me, that's what a trailer should be. It should get you excited and make you ask more questions than answers that they give you. And I was quite nice. One thing that I have to say to you guys is, like, this is what Fallout games have been doing for, like, for so long. Like, hey, you create your character in first person, and then, like, you don't see him. Like, yes, you can see it in third person, but the default is first person. Most people don't even know
they
that.
They still give you a third person mode, even if it's a shitty third person mode.
Yeah, if they had a third person, a lot of people would be happier, I think.
But you know, it's still early, like they said. That might be something that they add on.
Yeah, they could be. It could be.
They've done it before, so
I would.
On the fence because of that thing, Brian.
I would highly doubt that, because they did mention that they wanted to be in first person to make it more immersive. Because in first person, you like see it through the perspective of the character, hence first person, and hence that is meant to make it
immersive.
Building
stuff like that.
Yeah, I always disagree with that. To me, first person actually kind of takes me out of the experience, because my character is just a floating gun. There's nothing for me to look at.
It closes
off
the world. It definitely closes off the world. You get tunnel vision.
By the way, Brian, I don't know if you heard what Brett just said. He said he's one of the people that's on the fence now because of the camera, and he was hyped for the game too. You know.
You're on the fence. Okay, no, that's fine. Like, everyone has their preferences. That's one thing that I've learned.
But man, here's one. Did anybody, when GTA 5, what, a few years after the release, when they did their first person, did anybody play the game in first person besides me?
Five minutes. I'm like, no. I went back to normal, you know?
That shit was so crazy. Every car you went in, everything was so detailed. It's nuts.
Yeah, it was too much. No, I was really, really, really excited about this game because I pretty much assumed it was going to be a game at least somewhat like The Witcher, at least in third person. And, you know, I'll probably still play it because it, you know, I'm interested in it and I believe in CD Projekt Red. But I'm really disappointed for the exact reasons that Tony specified. Like, man, like, I hate, like, I don't always want to be the character that I'm playing. I don't have this weird infantile intrinsic need. And I'm sorry if that's insulting to anybody who plays themselves for every video game. I don't mean it like that, but I don't feel the need to play as myself in every single character that I play. You know, I enjoy playing D&D. I enjoy making up different characters. And maybe it's an artist thing. Maybe Manny feels the same way. Like, you can be separate from your creation. And it's cool to be able to see your creation go through this story, and you can kind of, you know, sit back as this, you know, weird disembodied, you know, observer kind of thing. Like, I find games to be more immersive like that sometimes. I don't like necessarily being ham-fisted into all this is happening to you. It makes it difficult, in my opinion, for replayability. Like, I enjoyed playing Mass Effect and then replaying it again as FemShep. It gave you a different perspective on the game. So I would really like the option to be able to switch between first and third person, especially if I'm going to sink a bunch of time into my character creator and actually build a character that I think is cool. Otherwise, it's just whatever standard. This is just a blank template that I'm supposed to imprint myself onto, yada, yada,
yada. You do that in Fallout.
No, I make all kinds of different. I play in third person in Fallout.
Oh, third person sucks in Fallout.
Yeah, man. It looks like a floating guy. Like, he's out of place.
That's why they fixed the camera angle in the fourth game. Because in the third game, I went first person just because of the fact the guy looks like he's floating. But in the fourth game, I played third person because you can't see his feet. You know? But no, again, I'm with Brett. It's like, I don't need to be myself. I'm boring. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be somebody else that's cool. But it's not really, putting myself in that. I'm controlling somebody else. We talked about this before. It's like, when you play a game, are you you or are you the character? I'm like, no, I'm controlling the character. You know? So, yeah. But the thing is, like, for me with Cyberpunk, you know, even though that is a kind of turnoff, I didn't have this game in my radar to begin with because I'm not a big fan of cyberpunk itself, the genre. And from the little, yeah, I'm just being honest, from what I saw, I'm like, oh yeah, typical cyberpunk stuff, a bunch of people with prosthetics and the world looks dirty as shit. I'm like, okay, it's a cyberpunk game, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, you know. But the little I saw looks very nice, and I'm wondering, and here's the thing. When I first saw it, I was just like, okay, whatever. This looks like Deus Ex, you know, big fucking deal. It just looks like a nicer Deus Ex. But then I realized, wait, this is an open world that looks like that. That's when I'm like, oh, yeah, that's actually pretty impressive because open world games, even the most beautiful looking games, you know, have a certain level where, you know, they don't, like, for example, a game like God of War will always look better than an open world game because, you know, it's a smaller world, so you're able to devote more assets and stuff, right? This shit looks fucking legit, you know, and I don't think, I could be wrong about this, but it looks like what we were shown is like the next gen version of the game, if you know what I'm saying. This looks fucking tight, you know. That's not enough for me to get hyped about the game, but I will give CD Projekt Red, those motherfuckers make pretty looking games, man, you know. No release date for this, obviously. And my question to you guys is, will we get Puddlegate with this shit? You know motherfuckers are going to come out here doing these stupid comparisons, you know?
Well, you still have people that are mad about what happened on the Cyberpunk social accounts. You know, when they said that, what was it? There was a tweet, something like, how do you assume their gender or something like that?
Well, that's all. I'm not getting into that right now. That was insane.
I'm just saying there are people that were still holding that against the company, and they're kind of downgrading Cyberpunk as a result.
Yeah, that's kind of silly. Come on, guys. I'll talk about that. That's stupid. Over a tweet? Really? Look at the game. Let the game speak for itself. Don't worry about the social media aspect. That's dumb, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, I understand the hype. I'm not trying to watch no 48-minute fucking video. Get out of here. You know? It's like, can you do a condensed 10-minute thing, please? You know?
I was surprised you can drive in the game.
What happened? Carlos?
I was surprised you can drive in the game. I just remember, like, I was watching it and I thought, okay, you're just going to have to walk everywhere because that's what I'm kind of used to in open worlds. And then I'm like, oh, shit, you can drive.
Yeah, man, it's the future. They got cars, man.
What do you mean? There's other game. Walks 2, you could drive in that open world, of course.
Yeah, GTA. But it's a third person game. Like in a first, like Fallout. If Fallout had cars, that would blow my mind.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Because you're used to first person open world games not being able to drive. That's what you're saying.
Right, right? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. I got you.
But you're like, where's my horse? Where's my horse?
Yeah.
To be honest, it should have been consistent. Driving is in first person too. You know what I'm saying? That consistency is a little weird. You know,
well, you can switch.
They give you a couple of seconds in first person in the driving mode.
Or you can switch.
You can switch it.
But okay, so there you go. That's fine then.
It's kind of stupid. Like, why can you switch into the car mode and not switch it into the other one?
Yo, man, how come when I'm driving a car, I can see the third person? When I'm driving the person, I can't see it.
Yeah. By the way, another crazy thing about the game, when you were driving, there's a set piece. It's a fucking set piece in an open world where you're driving and you're shooting at the people that are chasing you, or you were chasing them. I forgot what it was. But like, they were chasing you, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a fucking set piece in an open world game. Like, how fucking crazy is that?
Ooh, X-Skull got a point. You could drive in Far Cry games. That's first person. That's straight up first person.
You can drive in Dying Light.
That is also true. All right, there you go.
Yeah, screw you guys.
Poking shit, man. Poking holes in your shit. You know, you can't. You know how it is with gamers, man. Oh yeah, Cyberpunk. We'll see what happens, man. All right. Moving on. You go ahead, Brian. Last word.
Just hype.
One more.
I'm with you, Brian, on the hype train.
Hey, listen, Brian doesn't usually get hyped about anything, so this is good. You know.
No, the game's actually good.
He's usually a cynical Brit about everything, but
I just don't like crap.
In that case, games
that bore me.
Yeah.
You know what? Then you're probably gonna like the next game that got revealed this week. Because yeah.
Yeah, but we'll get to that in a bit.
I thought that was next. My bad.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I got Streets of Rage on the brain, man. Don't do this to me.
Yes, don't worry, man. But there's a couple of things we still got to get to. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So it's official now, by the way. Xbox All Access is a thing. Reports came out. Rumors came out about an all-you-can-eat, basically, Xbox subscription plan. And it's actually a real thing. I think it's like $21 or something for like 24 months. And you get everything pretty much. And this kind of goes back to what we've been saying, that Microsoft is slowly turning the Xbox brand into a subscription service. You know, makes you wonder, you know, it makes you wonder if in the future you'll even need an Xbox to play Xbox games. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. Manny, you said something very interesting about this. You said this reeks of desperation.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit desperate. It sounds like they're trying to close the door on it all.
I think they're just trying to evolve and be the first out the gate because they're all doing it. They're all doing it. So I mean,
It's an ideal plan. You know, it's like when you break it down, they're not even making that much money back off of it. In fact, you save like $10 if you know you do the payment plan and the Xbox Live and the Game Pass. So it actually does make sense.
Think about it. Almost every service, even now, toothbrushes all have subscriptions. Right, there's all subscription service for everything. So they're like, why can't we just do that with the whole thing? Like, hey, you don't have enough money for Christmas. You want to get your kid this new console, the X. You don't have it, but you can, you know, spend $20-$30 a month. All right, boom, there you go. You're gonna have it, the whole package. Your kid's gonna be happy. Everyone's happy. You didn't shell out the $500-$600 right off the bat, and that's smart.
Yeah. Is anybody interested in this Xbox Pass? Robert,
I might do it to get the Xbox One X, I think. I might give it a shot because I do want to get the X at one point. I was going to wait for a 2-terabyte one because I need the space.
But you can wait for me to beat Halo Master Chief Collection and I'll sell it to you.
Okay, $20. Do it.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the thing. They actually
you have a layaway plan, all access plan, Carlos.
How is it again? So basically, for 24 months, they send you the console, and then after 24 months, you pay for the you would have paid
already
it off.
Yours. Yeah, it's yours. You get to keep
it's
it.
Interesting. Then, it's interesting.
Oh wow!
You know,
it's going to bring happiness to people. I'm telling you.
I noticed some comments on there. Like I did something on Twitter the other day, and all the people like, well, if you can't afford a console up front, you shouldn't be trying to pay for a console at all. I mean. I'm like, guys, that's what the plan is for, to help people who can't pay $500 up front for an Xbox One X. I mean, it makes sense in terms of, like, not everybody has an elaborate budget. I don't even have an elaborate budget, and now I'm in debt because, you know, the PS4 Pro. But it's a plan that's put in place to bring in people that normally can't afford that type of gaming. And, you know, it's got the Game Pass thrown in, so they don't have to worry about going and spending $60 on something new. They have access to stuff like Forza Horizon 4 and Sea of Thieves and Halo Master Chief Collection, you know? So it makes perfect sense.
Or even the casual. Someone's like, yeah, I stepped away. There's too much going on. I don't know what to get. It's like, oh, well, for that money, yeah, I why not? I could do it. I could $20-some and I'll have that and have all these games. It's always updated and I don't have to pay anything extra. Okay, yeah, I can do that. And that's what they're going for. Now, it remains to be seen if it actually works. We'll see after the holiday. I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of deals and things going on, so let's see.
Yeah, there's only two downsides to this. Number one, they're not sure if everybody can be approved on the credit plan. And number two, it's only being offered through Microsoft stores for the moment. I thought
GameStop. They said GameStop was going to partner with them.
Well, probably closer to the holiday season. Right now, it's just Microsoft stores. Mm.
Wait, Adam, are you getting one?
No, I'm not getting it. There's no reason for me to get it.
Yeah, he has an Xbox, you know.
I got a few of them.
Yeah, but and the games, you already have all the games.
I can start doing my own service with the amount that I have. So I'm charging people. There you go. I'm charging bitches $10 a month. Which one do you want? The blue one, the red one, the burgundy? Burgundy, yeah, I painted. I was drunk. Burgundy. All right, so let's just keep going. Which one?
Yeah, but no, I think it's a good entry point for people who can't afford a system for sure, you know?
Yeah. And it depends on how they market. Like you said before, it's the Microsoft store. Those are usually in malls and obscure locations. They're not on Main Street. But if they can get into GameStop or Best Buy, something like that, where during the holiday season, people are going to go in there and shop and like, oh, mommy, daddy, I want this new car. I can't afford it. Well, hey, that's this new service here. $24. You walk out right now with that and all these games. Oh, really? Yep. What's your credit score?
What's his credit score, man? By the way, Manny, Robert McLeod kind of agrees with you. He goes, $30 a month tells me Microsoft is desperate to sell Xbox. Yo, so you guys are crazy. The welfare box, man. This is why we get called the pony show, man. Fuck.
You know, it works for Rent-A-Center. That's all I'm saying.
Man.
People all right, like so, their Rent-A-Centers.
Yeah, so I had to throw that story in there because I don't want people to keep you ignoring Microsoft stories. All right, okay, this is another one that just came out today. So, okay, about a month ago, Sony said that the PlayStation 4 was on its, like, you know, final legs, the, you know, farewell tour or whatever, right? Now, today, they're saying that you're not going to see the PS5 for another 3 years. So that's a long farewell for PS4, you know? This is interesting. And Brett and I had a very interesting discussion about this. He thinks that Microsoft would come in and you know, take a little bit of thunder from Sony.
Well, I don't think that Microsoft's going to let their failure stagnate for another 3 years. Let's just be fucking honest here and call a spade a spade. Their current console, it's saying it's selling at or PlayStation is outselling Xbox at a 3-to-1 ratio is being fucking generous. So even though it's a financial success in terms of market share, it's not a critical success. And the longer this sits in people's minds, the longer it's going to cement their entire, you know, at this point, there are kids whose entire childhood has been dominated by Sony. So Microsoft's key play here has to be bring their new console out. And they've already hinted around. They've already talked about games that are going to be launching with their new console because they're trying to build faith. And I don't think that they're just going to let 3 years pass by. And if Sony is saying that they're 3 years out from their new console, especially with Microsoft having tested the water with, you know, multiple SKUs of consoles, they know that if they beat Sony to market and Sony just comes out with a new console, they can just come out with an upgraded console. And then if Sony comes out with an upgraded console from there, they'll come up with a further upgraded console. They don't give a shit. They're going to try and rush to market to garner some of that market share. And they had such critical success that when they got out a year in front of Sony that I can't believe Sony would allow that to happen. But it makes me a little worried if they, unless they're strictly lying to us, which is entirely possible. Mm-hmm. I fully believe that, yeah, Microsoft is going to have their next gen console ready.
See, I think what Microsoft is going to do first is work on their game input, their game output rather, because one of the biggest problems that we've seen with the Xbox One X and its introduction is that there's not nearly enough games to take advantage of it. You know, we were promised, you know, the new Crackdown, the new Scalebound, the new Fable. One's heavily delayed. The other two got canceled. So, I mean, they're in this hole right now. Then they're trying to get out. You know, they bought all these studios, Compulsion Games, you know, Ninja Theory. They bought them. You know, they're going all out to try to get this game push going first. So I don't think they're going to introduce the hardware until they have the games ready. Now, if like in a year's time, we start to see a lot of progress in these games and they start to get the, you know, better footing in terms of these releases and what they're trying to offer to develop, or, you know, to the fans, that makes sense. Then they're in a better place to say, okay, now we can get a jump on the market and see what the Xbox 2 or Xbox 720 does. But for now, jumping on new hardware is a big mistake because they had just announced the 1X. And if they throw that to the curb, that doesn't say much in terms of their confidence in hardware.
Robert, to be fair, though, they did announce a new system at E3 this year.
They did, Dan, but from what I understand, though, they're going to go with something that's first like a streaming model, like one of those streaming boxes, before they go all out with the next hardware.
Interesting. And maybe this Xbox game all access thing could, it could pad time out. But I kind of agree with Brett here. I think Microsoft's going to get their system out before Sony. But I do disagree with the fact that, or what Brett said, that he thinks that if Microsoft gets their system out first, that it's going to like make them maybe win next generation. Because to me,
let me put it to you this way, Tony.
Yeah, go ahead.
When the next Elder Scrolls 6 rolls out on the next gen Xbox console, and you have a dumbed down version, even for PS4 Pro, how you going to feel?
I'm not going to feel shit, but I see what you're saying. It's like people are going to be like, yo, I want that Xbox One version. And you're right. When the PS5 comes out, let's just say for the sake of argument, Xbox, let's call it Xbox 2 for simplicity's sake, Xbox 2 comes out, right? 2020. PS5 drops 2021. There, even if PS5 does well out the gate, which, you know, Sony never has good launches. Let's just be honest. Even with that, it's going to take them a year to get their footing. But if they don't fuck up, like with the PS3 in terms of price and stuff, I think Sony will catch up to them very, very quickly. Remember, PS3 eventually caught up, and that was like years later after they finally dropped the price and it finally had the games. The games are probably not going to be there at launch, but if they get that price correct, then it should mitigate some damage. But I do agree that for the first year or two, maybe the first 3 years, Sony's going to be playing catch up with that Xbox, because Xbox is going to have those pretty little games. Like you said, dudes that are waiting for Elder Scrolls, when they see that shit on the Xbox One X or Xbox 2, excuse me, they're going to lose their fucking mind. As a matter of fact, Brandon, I'm glad you brought that up, because remember the game that happened with was Morrowind. Oblivion. When people saw the Oblivion on Xbox 360, they lost their shit, you know? And then when it came out on PS3, obviously it looks like crap or whatever, but yeah, that's definitely going to help out Microsoft. But I think in the long term, Sony's going to catch up, because like I always say, Sony is the most recognized, you know, outside of Nintendo, obviously, brand for gaming. So it'll catch up eventually. I'm not really worried about that. But barring a big fuck up on Sony's part, you know?
Yeah. I mean, now, Sony, and if history taught us anything, even if a company does get the jump on Sony, that doesn't necessarily mean they won the market. And all you have to do is take a look at the Sega Saturn to see that.
Sega Saturn, Dreamcast 2. Don't forget about the Dreamcast. Dreamcast was out a year before PlayStation. That didn't help it out.
Don't misinterpret me here. I'm not saying that Microsoft is going to take the next generation because of this. What I am saying is this. If you're sitting in Microsoft's boardroom right now, and there's a big fucking whiteboard on the wall that says, how do we capture the market share that we used to own that is now in PlayStation's pockets? What is your answer going to be other than, we need to beat them to market on the next console? On the next
generation? We need to have the games, too.
Yeah, you need to have the games.
We need to have the games to do that, but I take that. What I think is that whole Elder Scrolls thing, when they said, you know, the next one's going to be coming on, the next generation, that was Microsoft starting to lay the groundwork. That was, they just had a meeting, most likely, in the last couple of weeks and said, okay, we need to look forward to make sure that our next launch not only happens earlier, but is supported by software. So we're going to do a push for games now, yes, but we're of all these studios that we're buying, we're going to probably pull half of them aside and say, you're developing for the Xbox too. So that we have 14 launch titles that everybody wants, and we can have prettier multi-plat titles. And if we can do that and get ahead of Sony, then we have a good chance of capturing a very large percentage of the market share that we used to have. That would be my answer if I were sitting in that boardroom.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's probably what drove them acquiring all those studios, because yes, they want to see games, but you don't just see Microsoft, like, they're going to two-bird, one stone it. They're going to realize, if we don't have the games now, we don't have the games to launch a new generation, and we need to have that too. So we're going to start parsing out our resources to make sure that they're not just going to blow their load on a bunch of Xbox One games and then be caught with their pants down for the launching of their next-gen system, which they're already planning. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think Sony kind of showed their hands a little early. Now Microsoft will be like, oh, shit. you know, because you know they're already working on a new system. I think with the Xbox system will come out before the PS5. You know, it'll be interesting. But yeah, I was going to say Oblivion, the next Elder Scrolls, definitely going to be on that for sure. You know,
wherever Division 3 is where I'm going.
There you go, man.
See, it'll affect us even here on the Throwdown. It'll make
damn
us
right. Make you heard it here first. Hot 97. What?
Dude, if they got the new hot new pretty Elder Scrolls and Sony has the repart version, I'm going Xbox. Okay.
There you go.
I'm not giving my gaming due to brand loyalty. Fuck that shit.
No, man, they don't show loyalty to us. Fuck them.
Like, man, fuck them.
Yeah, I go where I'm happy. I don't fucking know any. I hate that shit. Same thing with teams and stuff. I have a bunch of teams that like, how could you support, you know, New England Patriots? You're from New York. I don't give a shit. Randy Moss all day. What the fuck? Tom Brady, I don't care. Those are my people. That's what I like. Shit. Giants, they play in Jersey. Don't give me that loyalty shit.
Fuck Jersey, man. All right. Let's move on here. All right, Robert, it's time, man.
Here we go.
It's time.
Here we go. Okay, now, yeah, we're all talking about, like, you know, the new school coming out and all that shit. But I'm telling you something. When a sequel to a game series that we haven't seen in 24 years rolls around, you pay attention. Streets of Rage 4 coming from .emu and the guys who worked on Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap, that remake. It is coming soon. It doesn't have a release date, but it features a very bearded Axel as well as Blaze from the Streets of Rage series. It looks very beautiful, hand-drawn animated, looks like, just like Wonder Boy.
Is it here with the inline skates in it?
What?
Skates.
The inline.
We only revealed two fighters so far.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I'm excited for it. I mean, how long have we waiting for, like, an actual Streets of Rage
24
sequel?
Years.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, wasn't there, like, there was like a fan project that was supposed to come out in the late 90s and it never happened. So... This is actually happening. I'm thrilled to see this.
Yeah, this was my favorite news story of the week. I lost my fucking mind. And it's not one of those like, oh, I remember Streets of Rage finally when I was a kid, which I obviously do, but I still play Streets of Rage. Like Streets of Rage 2, I played every so often. The game is just fun. So when I saw this, I lost my mind. And I'm going to tell you something fun here. Obviously, we can't disclose our source, but we actually hinted at this. We knew about this for a month now. We're at Throwdown. Manny actually threw something in there for you guys, and nobody caught it because I was obviously hidden. Basically, when you asked us a couple weeks ago, it's like, hey, what Sega games do you want to see brought back? We were like, hey, how about Streets of Rage? We already knew what was coming.
And we even did it. We even did a pause.
Yeah.
We even did a pause on it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm happy about this. I absolutely love the animation. I do want to address something, the criticism, because people say this game looks like a cheap Flash game. They said it looks like they didn't put any effort into it. It's like, guys, do you realize how much work goes into hand drawing all these cells? That shit is hard work.
Plus, it's still early days yet. I mean, they still have yet to reveal more fighters that are going to be thrown in because there's room on that cover. If you take a look at the cover in the end, there is room for additional fighters to be thrown in. You know, we're still waiting to see other stages in the game. We're still waiting to find out if Yuzo Koshiro is involved with the soundtrack.
Yeah,
he kind of hinted he was.
Okay.
He didn't confirm it.
Okay. Because the reason I'm glad you brought that up because some people, you know, were hitting me up like, hey, listen, I'm not buying this thing. He's not in it, you know, but I guess we don't have confirmation of that yet.
He just says I can't comment on it.
Okay, because he was. I know you know people remember Streets of Rage for the fighting mostly, but that music really made those games, man. It really did. I'm hyped as shit for that. I can't fuck like that thing was 59 seconds. I saw that trailer so many times, bro. Mm-hmm. I am ready. I wish Chris was here because he's hyped as fuck too. You know?
Yeah, we were talking about the ARK podcast and we were excited as shit about that game. It's just
Tony didn't have time to sit through the Cyberpunk trailer, but he sat through this trailer 48 times.
Yes, exactly.
Priorities, man.
It's real right now, man. Streets of Rage 4, are you kidding me? This is great. Oh, you know,
and not only that, but another long lost franchise resurfaced as well. Yeah. We're getting Onimusha Warlords.
Yeah, that's right.
Coming in January 15th. Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC across the board. But this opens up potential for Capcom to bring back other series, too. I'm talking about Dino Crisis. I'm talking about Beautiful Joe. I'm talking about Maximo. All
they
sorts of possible.
They did
Okami.
I miss Maximo. That was such a fun game.
If they bring back Beautiful Joe, I'm losing it, man. I'm going to lose it.
Oh, right there with you, Tony.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm just telling you. Like, Onimusha was really hot seller for the longest time there, and then we didn't get a new game in the series since, what, 2006? I think it was 2002, maybe somewhere in there. But it's been a while.
I heard this was a remaster.
Yeah, it's a remaster of the original, but with a better analog control system. They're doing like the Resident Evil thing where it's not tank-like, unless you want it that way.
Okay, so it's going to have updated controls, so it doesn't feel janky. Because I was when I was talking to Tony about this earlier, that was my main complaint is when they bring back a lot of these games, they don't really update the control scheme, and they end up just feeling aged as well as looking aged. You can throw a new skin on it, but there are something like, I'll be honest, I even felt a huge difference jumping back to Dark Souls 1.
Yeah, no, that's right. But yeah, but it's going to have that. But even that, by the way, those updated controls for Resident Evil Remake were still kind of harsh, man. I don't know how the hell I played those games back in the day. But the reason I threw that into the show notes is mostly because I know a lot. I saw so much hype for Onimusha. And I'm just being honest. For me, I never cared for this series, but I understand a lot of people are hyped about it. And I know even the guys in the chat tonight were like, "You guys are talking about Onimusha. We're talking about it now." Yeah, if this game does well, which I suspect it will, Capcom has actually made a good deal of money because of the remasters and remakes. They've even admitted so. It's like, yeah, you know, this makes up. I mean, they made so much money off of fucking Mega Man, you know. So I believe this could open the door for a new Onimusha. Which would be good, you know.
I think that's what they're planning it out for. I think they want to see if there's appeal for an Onimusha 4, because they can't keep making Resident Evil games forever. They need to lean on their other franchises. I mean, look at the excitement that came when Devil May Cry 5 was announced.
Yeah, exactly.
There is potential there with their older franchises. That's what I'm saying. If they did that with Onimusha, then they could easily do that with Dino Crisis, because that was another great series that didn't get the appreciation it kind of deserved. I mean, 3 went to space, whatever the fuck that was about, but the first two games, really cool.
Yeah, the truth, he goes, where's deep down?
I'm still trying to figure out why they're in space. Whatever.
Yeah, don't franchises go to space to die? I mean, that's what the 80s movies taught us, right?
Like Jason X.
Leprechaun goes to space, you know, Hellraiser in space.
No, then Leprechaun went to the hood and he came back.
That's right. Jason went to the hood too. man.
So go ahead. I know we constantly joke about it, but why the fuck, with all of the public interest, have they not tried to resurrect Deep Down?
I think they're taking their time with it. I mean, they said not every one of their franchises makes the money. I mean, look at Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. They put a lot of potential in that, even though they cut the budget in half, and it tanked on them. So they're a little nervous about what they select. But then, of course, you got Okami making a good amount of money again, and you got the Mega Man Legacy Collections doing well, including X. So they're starting to bounce back from that. I mean, I don't know if we'll see Marvel vs. Capcom again, at least not for a few years, but we're starting to see other franchises kind of gain interest again, and I kind of like that.
I mean, well, it almost feels like it's attained like the Last Guardian type status. Like, it's one of those things that people would still be hyped for, even if it were re-announced. You know, even if it took 10 years to actually come to market, this is one of those games that gamers have wanted to see. And I feel like even if over at Capcom they had canceled it, halted all production, still on the IP, that they'd be looking at it and be like, do these motherfuckers keep talking about Deep Down? We should probably make a game.
Yeah, or it could just become their agent, you know. but at least they had footage of Deep Down, you know what I'm saying?
Why would you let something that already has so much hype, already pre-built around it, why would you just let it go stale? Even if you were originally afraid and then that shit went viral, be like, okay, start putting money back into that project. Why would you just let it sit on the shelf?
Yeah, well, remember, Capcom doesn't have an infinite amount of money, so I think they're just putting their money where they know they're gonna get the most return. But I do think they're gonna probably come back to Deep Down eventually. But right now, they probably don't feel it's financially worth it to put a lot of eggs in that basket. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, they want to go with reliable stuff they know that's gonna make money. Like Resident Evil 2 Remake is gonna sell like hotcakes when it comes out next year. Easy. So, I mean, if there is enough quality work put into a remake, and it sounds like that's what's happening with Onimusha as well, especially on the Switch, that's going to sell like hotcakes too.
By the way, Robert, I just realized that if they would have put Marvel's Capcom Infinite on Switch, it probably would have done better, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, and not to mention, why not a Marvel vs. Capcom anthology? If they've still got a deal somewhere in place with Marvel, why not bring back the games we want to play? They brought back Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. It makes no sense.
Yeah. I've been asking for X-Men vs. Street Fighter for years, man. Please put that in a compilation.
We did get the collection. So, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, but yeah.
Darkstalkers, please.
Yeah, Darkstalkers, man. Bring it back. You know,
I think
that game didn't sell well. Though. That's the thing. The remake didn't do so well. So that's why Capcom even said, like, oh, yeah, because this remake didn't do so well. And the Marvel's and Capcom remake didn't do well. We're going to stop these for a little
but
while.
You release that on Xbox One and PS4. You what? I mean, if they do Xbox 360 backward compatibility on it, sales will pick up again.
Yeah. Just put it on Switch. Put everything on Switch is going to sell.
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah. Come on. Just put it on Switch. You know?
Yeah, because Nintendo guys, they'll buy it up, man. It's crazy.
I mean, hell, you saw even like the smallest games are making money on Switch. Like Blossom Tales made 20 times more money on the Switch than it did on Steam.
Wow.
Yep. Man. Shit ton of money.
By the way, you know, since I have you here, Robert, what's your take on that? Why do you think games that, you know, have been out for years, months, years, whatever, you know, had middle success do so much better on Switch? What do you think the factor is there?
Accessibility. People be able to take their games on the go. You know, it's not everybody has a Vita, you know, so not everybody has, you know, a comfortable with the 3DS, you know, with the Switch, they could buy a game, play it at home or play it on the go. I mean, that's one of its biggest features. That's why it's selling so well right now, you know, because people don't have to take a break or, you know, put everything in one of those big gaming cases, like the games case to get their gaming on portable, you know, it's convenience. And it, you know, with a lot of the indie games, there's appeal to just sit down and play for a while and just relax, not have to worry about high-end graphics or do I have to download 25 gigabytes of data? You know, it's convenient that way.
Yeah, no, that's the main reason I'm asking. I'm like, because like, is the portability the key factor here? Because I kind of still have a hard time understanding why these things, but I think it's because I'm looking at it from my perspective. I don't take the Switch out of my room. You know, it stays docked.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, why am I going to play Cave Story on this show when I played it 5 years ago, you know?
Because you get back into it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, why would you play Freedom Planet again? Because it was fun, and now you can take it with you on the go.
See, you say that, but then whenever you see these polls, and even on Nintendo sites, it's like, people don't play undocked. Majority play it docked. So it's like it's the factor might be there, but that's not what they're using it for.
By the way, but when you say majority, it's only like 2% more that play it.
Yeah.
Mode. You know, but it reminds you of like backward compatibility. Everybody wants it, but then when you actually look at the numbers of how many people actually play those old games, it's low.
Yeah.
So you say that, but then they introduce something big like Modern Warfare 2, and all of a sudden, boom, there you go.
Yeah.
Not even.
No, yeah. No. Are you kidding me? I went to GameStop, and they're sold out everywhere of $20 versions.
Yeah, $20 wow. versions.
That's crazy, yeah. Man. But
I got mine for $2. I'm good.
Brian.
Yep. I just want to throw my 2 cents for Deep Down. That thing was actually a tech demo. Like, they never talked about any gameplay, anything about that. They're just like, hey, here's all this cool tech stuff that we can do with, like, the new engine that we're making and all sorts. So, in actuality, Deep Down was never really a game. It was more just Capcom showing off, like, the new engine that they were working on.
Where is that new engine being used? Hold on, Manny.
It just so happens to be that they have released a Resident Evil game, and with a new in-house engine, the RE engine, because prior to this, like last gen, and even with Monster Hunter Worlds, they're using the MT frameworks. So possibly Deep Down Deep Down morphed into the RE engine, which has been used for DMC5 and RE7. That's my theory.
That's an interesting theory, you know, but if that's the case, it seems that Capcom put themselves in the same corner that Square Enix put themselves when they put that tech demo of Final Fantasy VII. Now you got to make the goddamn game, you know?
Then is it really like that much interest for like that game? Because I don't think
there is. There's a bunch of people still asking about that game, you know? Till this day, like, where's Deep Down? Where's Deep Down? You see it in the chat. Brett wants it, you know? Like, where is this shit? You know,
Brett wants it.
Yeah, if Brett wants it, everybody wants it.
It's in the. It's waiting. It's waiting in the queue along with a Star Citizen and
And the engine. The right? You know, yeah. And well, the you know,
yeah. Don't get. God damn it! You gotta just twist the knife, don't you? Just gonna twist it.
Hey, at least we got Shenmue 3 release date. It's not for another year, but at least we got a Shenmue 3 release date.
Yeah, that is true, man. That is true. All right, man. So we're going to start wrapping this up. So again, we want to remind you guys that next week is episode 200. Is going to be a big one. Not only are we going to have special guests, namely Torrance Davis and Hip Hop Gamer, but we're going to be giving away a free copy of Spider-Man 4. If you want to win that, follow us on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Twitter at Throwdown Show. And in the comment section of the video that we have posted over on YouTube or over on our Twitter, just tell us what your favorite Spider-Man game is. We're going to pick somebody completely at random. We're going to send you a free copy of the game. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be incredible, man. And of course, I want to thank Robert for being on tonight. Any closing thoughts, man? Anything you want to tell the fans?
Well, if you want, I could stop by for a few next week and give Torrance some shit. Maybe we can get in a heavy breathing contest.
Yeah, great. Yeah, if I could squeeze you in, because there's only like room for 10 people. But
oh, I know.
Yeah,
but the thing is, maybe Robert, I'll just chat. Yeah. I'll talk shit about Hip Hop Gamers' love for Drive Club.
Yes, man. By the way, I want to give you a shout out, Robert, because like we usually have an open door policy with like most of our guests. You're the only one that like consistently takes us up on that offer. So thank you for that, because we always love having you on, man.
Yeah, and well, you know, somebody promised me your login info to play Spider-Man, so let's see it.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
By the way, if you guys want to see my work, you can check it at comicbook.com/gaming. I also do the ARG podcast with my buddy David Gilton over there at retrozap.com. And you can follow me at twitter.com/thedcd.
Nice, nice, very nice. All right, guys. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Carlos Romero.
Deuces.
Brett Murdoch.
See you, everybody.
Adam Vale.
Have a good weekend, people.
Brian Manjoma.
If PS3 games didn't have grass, and now PS4 games don't have puddles, what will PS5 games not have?
BB guns. Obvious.
Puppies.
Yeah, and Mr. Robert Workman.
Quit freaking out about puddles. Enjoy the game. Gosh.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Episode 200, baby, is coming. Later.
Later.
Deuces.